Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in First Kings. We'll start in chapter 16. We're going to kind of surf through the life of some very ungodly people. And it's going to be Ahab and Jezebel. Now, if you know anything about them, we're going to surf through that. I do want to let you know that there is value in living the way God's called us to live. There is value in being a Christian. There is value as a Christian living right. And also, as I'm going to read, we're going to read some scripture tonight. So you're going to have to follow through, but because we can't cover all this, because we're just going to work through this, because there's a lot to learn here tonight. And some of you just never heard of this story, and some of these are just, you can just take segments of it and just preach on them. But we're going to be, like I said, surfing through the life of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. But as we go through this, I want you to be reminded that God works through people, but Satan also works through people. And Satan is not at an even level with God at all. But Satan does work through people. And he'll do anything he can to turn God's people against God. Ahab. Well, let's just go ahead and dig in. Is that good? 1 Kings chapter 16. We're going to find out, introduce ourselves here to Ahab. Verse 10. Ahab, the son of Amri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. We know right now that this is a man who is king over God's people, but he does evil. But pay attention. He said he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. No sins is worshiping these golden calves. That's what he's talking about. But he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ithbel, son of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. Now, Baal is a god, a nasty god, nasty little idol. When I mean nasty, it's actually filthy. It's all kinds of sexual sins and body fluids in the altar area, people using the bathroom on it, and people doing all kinds of sexual. It's a disgusting scene. She's bringing this with her in this marriage. Yes. 1 Kings chapter 16. In verse 32, it says he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he had built in Samaria. It's amazing what people build for the worldly things and false things, and people won't get involved with godly things. Says Ahab also made an Asher pole. We've seen that also in the past. Asher pole, and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. This is a preface of what's getting ready to happen. He's already done what we're going to see. Just this little piece. But he did more to anger God than any of the other kings, than any other kings of Israel. He was on God's radar, if you want to say. He did evil things, and he didn't care if he did them or not. He didn't care if he did those or not. What happens is a story comes in with Elijah. He goes up to Mount Carmel. Now, this is an area you can preach about 3 or 4 messages on and have a great time watching God do great things, but we're not going to camp there. But what I want to let you know is God gets a great victory. A lot of these priests of Baal were put to death, like 450-something. They were all put to death, and now that is over with. And now he comes down to the bottom, and now Elijah the prophet is going to talk to Ahab. And Ahab, let's go to chapter 19. It says now, verse 1, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. This is what Ahab does. Ahab may be king, but he don't rule the nest. Jezebel did. Jezebel ruled. And Jezebel's priests have now been put to death. But it says, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it so ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. What he's saying, it says, by tomorrow you're going to be dead. Just like you killed my priest, I'm going to kill you. Never have I seen in Scripture where someone runs. We know Jonah ran from the Lord. But Jonah ran from the Lord. Elijah, says in verse 3, was afraid and ran for his life. He didn't run from the Baal priest. He didn't run from Ahab. He ran from Jezebel. Just her words made him afraid. This was an evil woman. This is a wicked woman. Now, sometimes we as Christians believe, Lord, why don't you just take that person out right now? Well, if you think about it, why didn't God take us out when we were living filthy and sinful? So even through the Old Testament, we see a lot of killing. We see a lot of lives taken. But I want to remind you that even in the Old Testament, God's grace and mercy was covered all over it. Okay? But we see Elijah runs, and what happens is, I'm giving you a big piece tonight, so I'm hoping you're going to catch it and stay with me. But Elijah runs, and he ends up in this cave, and he's going to talk to the Lord, and there's some great message there, but I just want to share something with you. When Elijah's talking to the Lord, he says this, the Israelites have received your covenant and torn down. He's telling the Lord, he says in verse 10, Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Did you hear that? We always read about that. They're trying to kill me too, and that is important. But the big part I see is they put your prophets to death. Elijah was already, Jezebel was already putting prophets to death. Now God had some reserved for himself. There's many that are left. Sometimes we feel like we're the only Christian in the city sometimes, but we're not. All right? There are more Christians than you think there is. But some time happens. And Ahab, now we're in chapter 21. Ahab caught this vineyard. He wants this vineyard. You know, some people think if it's not theirs, all they got to do is take it. You know, that's called stealing, right? I'm not going to ask how many of us tonight have stole things. Let me read this, chapter 21, sometime later in verse 1. There was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors. So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth, the Jezreelite, had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors. He lay on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. He's a big baby. He lay there because he couldn't buy this. The guy wouldn't give it to him, so he wasn't going to go home, go to bed. And he's not going to eat. I'm going to pout. Now, I'll tell you, I always say this, and I'll continue to say this. Evil is always out there circling like a pack of wolves waiting for an opportunity to happen. And it's about ready to happen with Jezebel once again. Verse 5, his wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat? He answered her, because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel's wife said, is this how you act as a king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up, I'll get you that vineyard, the Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and placed a seal on them and sent them. So what she did she took charge in an evil way. You get up and you eat. I'll take care of this. And she signs and uses his seal, which she really wasn't allowed to do. You see, one sin gets you into another sin, and it's a domino effect. Now, I'm telling you, this woman Jezebel, she didn't care. She didn't care. You're going to make up letters. And in those letters, she wrote. Now, she's sending these to the elders. Proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in the prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite of him and have them bring charges that he cursed both God and the king, then take him out and stone him to death. What she's doing when she's speaking this, when they read it, they're thinking the king has sent this letter. She knew everything that she did was wrong, but she didn't care. She didn't care about people's lives. She didn't care. So the elders and the nobles who lived there, they did just that. And they took Naboth out and they stoned him. And that's what they did. In verse 15, as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive, but dead. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up, went down, and took possession of the vineyard. Now, here's the thing. People do this stuff all the time. It may not be murder, but people do evil things. This is evil deeds is what this is. They do it, and nobody knew about it except for them two. And Ahab may not have known everything, but eventually he's going to know. But let me remind you, God knows all things. God knows all things. And this is what we see. Verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Now this is how God speaks. He speaks to his prophet. The prophet goes to the kings and tells them things. Good. But most of the time, not so good. Because a lot of the kings were not just living as they should. He said, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. He's saying, now Naboth was stoned. Where? On that property? On his property? There, on there. He says, just where that's going to happen, it's going to happen to you. And Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me, my enemy. Remember Mount Carmel, right? You found me, you enemy. You're always saying bad things. I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. Let me tell you, when God calls you out, he's all out. And God gives man time to repent. I believe he does. And he says in verse 21, he says, I am going to bring a disaster on you. I'm going to wipe out your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have aroused my anger and have caused Israel to sin. I asked Carla this morning, have you ever made God angry? And we think about that. Have you ever made, I'm asking you, have you ever made God angry? I'm pretty sure we've done some things that can anger God. But praise the Lord for his Holy Spirit that convicts us that we might seek forgiveness and repentance as we repent. But God's not done. You see, God knows. And also concerning Jezebel the Lord, he says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds will feed on those who die in the country. And there was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And urged on by Jezebel his wife, he behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out of Israel. Let me tell you, it doesn't take long. You can clean yourself up with the Lord, but don't take long. You mess around with dirty people, you're going to get dirty too. Doesn't matter how clean you were. Make sure. One of the best books that we have in our program is Safe People. These are people you don't want to hang out with. These are the type of people. But there are people like this today in Huntington. And there are people like this today in the state of Indiana. There's people like this in our country. They do vile and evil things. And some of us may have done some of those things. But we praise God for His mercy and His grace and His gift of salvation. But what happens next is something we wouldn't expect. Ahab, he heard these words and he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and he fasted and he lay in sackcloth and he went around meekly. There's a part of him that knows who God is, but he wants to make his wife happy and he wants to follow these things. He does a lot of things for money. He does things for whatever he wants. And so he is now, there's a part of him that feels kind of bad. And we're like, oh, could that be fake? Could that be fake? But verse 28, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, to Tishbite. So the Lord says, I have noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Let me tell you, if the Lord says, I see humbleness, the Lord sees humbleness. He doesn't need you or me to agree with it. Because when I read it, I'm thinking, I don't agree with it being really humble. Well, praise God, I'm not the one that makes it humble. And if he's humble or not, because I'm still thinking about the man who died in the vineyard. You see, everything is bigger than the way we see it. God's already said what was going to happen. Right? So Ahab does this part where he puts on sackcloth and he fasted. Isn't that what you do? Isn't that what we do? When we fast, we want God to acknowledge what we're fasting for. He says, I've noticed that he has humbled himself. He says, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. What does that matter? What is that? You know what? I see this as just an act of God's mercy. At least for Ahab. But then his son's going to happen. We're going to get to that. It's an ugly blood fest. I'm telling you, I don't think we grasp it, how much evil was brought in when Ahab married Jezebel. Jezebel was a witch. This woman worked with demonic and she threw herself at this Baal god idol and brought people to it. And like I said, it was all about this nasty sexual things and shrine prostitutes and defecating and urinating on this around this idol, and they were all in it. It was just messy and nasty. But that's what Satan's all about. Ahab, a little bit further, is going to go into this little battle going on. He decides he's going to dress up like a normal guy, soldier guy, and he's going to give his royalty clothes to someone else and kind of like disguise himself. I'm not going to get all into it, but let me read in verse 30. Here we are in the same chapter of 22, verse 34. But someone drew his bow, and they're in this battle. Somebody drew his bow and arrow, and ran them and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded all day long. The battle raged, and the king was propped up in the chariots facing the Arminians. And the blood from the wound ran onto the floor of the chariot that evening. He died. He died. He had died. As the sun was setting, a cry spread through the army. Every man to his town, every man to his land. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him there. They washed the chariot at the pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathed. This is a pretty nasty time group, what he'd done. And then it says, and the dogs licked up his blood, as the word of the Lord had declared. The dogs licked up his blood. If God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. But what happens sometimes with these kings is the father ends up dying and the son rises up, and many times he is just as bad or worse. From time to time, there's some good ones. And sometimes all along, God's people are saying, Lord, where's the leadership? How come we don't have a godly leader? How come we don't have a godly leader? God is doing work that's always bigger than what we can see. God has purposes that you and I will never know, even for America, that we will never know. He's got purposes for this time that they didn't even know. God is dealing with some things. He wants people to draw to Him. He's going to do that here soon. Uzziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in verse 51, in Samaria. In verse 52, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he followed the ways of his father and mother and of Jeroboam. They keep mentioning his name because he was wicked. He caused Israel to sin. He served and worshipped Baal and aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done. You know that your children mirror you in many ways. But God raises up a man named Jehu, and he has him anointed to be king. And Jehu doesn't really quite... He's already kind of a commander, but he was very surprised the day that he was anointed. Let's see what the Lord tells him. Chapter 9 of 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 6. Jehu got up and went into the house, and then the prophet poured the oil on Jehu's head and declared, "This is what the Lord of the God of Israel says, I anoint you king over the Lord's people, Israel." I want to tell you, that right there was enough to take a step back and go, oh my, what is this all about? But God did it, but it didn't stop. The prophet didn't stop. He says, "You are to destroy the house of Ahab, your master. And I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the Lord's servants shed by Jezebel. The whole house of Ahab will perish." So we see, where's the servants who shed the blood of the Lord's servants? Jezebel did. She got blood on her hands. The Bible says to let vengeance belongs to you, me, the Lord. Because honestly, we don't know how to do vengeance in a holy manner and in a holy way. I don't even think we know how to do justice like God can. But you're going to go out and you're going to destroy. And you're going to take care of this Jezebel. And I will cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah. As for Jezebel, the dogs will devour her on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and no one will bury her. Then he opened the door and he ran. He gave the messenger, gave it, and he took off. Jehu's standing there going, "Wow, my goodness." Let's just see really what happened, because I think it's really interesting. When Jehu went out to his fellow officers, one of them asked, "Is everything all right? What did this maniac come to you? Why did this maniac come to you? You know the man and the sort of things he says." Jehu replied, "That's not true," they said. "Tell us." Jehu said, "Here is what he told me. The Lord said, I anoint you king over Israel." And they quickly took their clothes and spread them under him on the bare steps. And then they blew the trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king." You see, God can change things in a moment. Where Jehu was chilling with the other captains and commanders, drinking and having a dinner. And 10 minutes later, he's been anointed king. Can I tell you right now that if you say you're, God can do something in your life in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, God can change, do something in your life and call you to do something. But I will tell you this, if God's called you to do it, he'll equip you to do it. God never looks for the man who has the equipment. God never looks for the woman who is so smart. God does it the way he does it, and he supplies those individuals to do the great and mighty things that God's called them to do. Jehu takes off and he starts to wipe out some family members of Ahab. And Ahaziah, who is Ahab's son, getting ready to meet up. Because he's king. But let me remind you all through Scripture, whoever God anoints is the true king. Okay? Let me tell you, I've seen this in a couple of churches in my past. Men who wanted to be pastors and thought they could pastor, but they were never anointed. Can I tell you those churches don't last? They usually fall apart. Here it is. They see him coming and they want to meet out, so King Ahaziah sends his brother out too. Verse 21, hitch up my chariot, Joram ordered. And when it was hitched up, Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, rode out, each in his own chariot, to meet Jehu. They met him onto the plot of ground that had belonged to Naboth, the Jezreelite. Boy, that little vineyard is getting a lot of notice, isn't it? And when Joram saw Jehu, he asked, "Have you come in peace, Jehu? How can there be peace as long as all the adultery and witchcraft of your mother Jezebel abound?" You know, you can hide your sin, but it won't take long and people know what it is. Jehu calls out and says, "That witch, the witchcraft, mother." Well, let me just tell you, those guys end up being put to death. And some other people in the family gets put to death. But now it's time to go and see Miss Jezebel. Let's read. Chapter 9, verse 30. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she put on her eye makeup and arranged her hair and looked out of a window. So Jezebel gets herself all dolled up. She's queen. So now she's going to look out the window. Here comes Jehu. She's already got the word. She knows everything that goes on. She's got little birdies everywhere. You know what that means, right? People always going out, giving you, coming back. It says, as Jehu entered the gate, she asked, "Have you come in peace, you Zimri, you murderer of your master?" Now it's funny how some people call out other people's stuff. But they will never call out their own. And he wasn't a murderer at all. She called him a murderer. Called him a murderer. And he looked up at the window and he called out, "Who is on my side? Who?" He didn't even talk to her. Sometimes the best thing is not to talk to somebody. They're all doing all that evil stuff. "Who?" And two or three eunuchs looked down at him. And he says, "Throw her down." Jehu said, so they threw her down. Tells you a lot of people didn't like her anyway, right? Threw her down. So they threw her down and some of her blood splattered on the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. Jehu went in and he ate and drank. He just went in and took a break. Then he said, "Take care of that cursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter." But when they went out to bury her, they found nothing except her skull, her feet, and her hands. They went back and told Jehu, who said, "This is the word of the Lord that he spoke through the servant Elijah the Tishbite. On the plot of ground of Jezreel, dogs will devour Jezebel's flesh. Jezebel's body will be like dung on the ground in the plot of Jezreel, so that no one will be able to say, 'This is Jezebel.'" The end of the story for Ahab and Jezebel is horrible. It's devastating. But I want to remind you, this is just a clear reminder tonight. If you live in evil and you never get it right with the Lord, your death is never good. You reap what you sow. It is good for a Christian to live in a Christian way. There is blessings in it. But Jehu's not done. Jehu is not done. Chapter 10, verse 18. Then Jehu brought all the people together, and he said to them, now what he did? He said, "I'm going to gather." He goes up, and he gets all the people, and he says, and Ahab, he said, "Ahab served Baal a little." He said, now listen, everybody, Ahab served Baal. Remember, false god Baal? He served a little, but I'm going to serve him a lot. And if you stop right there, you might think, Jehu, man, he turned bad, right? He says, now summon all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. See that no one is missing, because I am going to hold a great sacrifice for Baal. Anyone who fails to come will no longer live. But Jehu was acting deceptively in order to destroy the servants of Baal. So he said, we're going to have a great party. We're going to worship Baal tonight. Everybody and anybody and all that, come on in. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right. So he calls an assembly in honor of Baal. What it says down here, down a little bit later, down in verse 24, so they went in to make sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had posted 80 men outside with this warning: if any one of you lets any of the men I am placing in your hands escape, it will be your life for his life. What do you think the tension around that big building, that area was? Every one of those 80 guards were saying, ain't getting by me. And so they were all put to death. Verse 27, they demolished the sacred stone of Baal and tore down the temple of Baal. And the people had been using it for a latrine. You know what that is? Bathroom. This is disgusting. Verse 28, so Jehu destroyed Baal worship in Israel. He destroyed the Baal worship in Israel. There was even a family that would come along. He was checking his family out as they were coming in and out of town. He checked them out. Oh, we're here to see King Ahab. We're here to see King Jezebel. Really? Okay, come on over here with us. The Bible says Jehu struck him. They struck him down and killed them too. God was cleaning house. There's a part here where it does say that Jehu, the worship, the golden calf, basically what it is, however, he did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to sin, commit sin, to worship the golden calves of Bethel and Dan. That's a good piece if you read it before. But verse 31 says, yet Jehu was not careful to keep the law of the Lord and the God of Israel with all of his heart. Let me tell you, I've seen that so many times. He just wasn't with all of his heart. He did this part right. He did this part right. And there's a promise there that God gave to him up to about, I think, four generations. That his family would be a part of that for four generations in kings. But it isn't just how you start, it's how you finish. There's a lot of lives involved in this story. You got Elijah. You have Elijah. We didn't even talk about the transformation. Those two, there was a different, there was one, Elijah was in the beginning of Ahab's kingship, and then Elijah was at the end of it. A lot of prophets died because of Jezebel. Israel sinned and began to stop worshiping God and began to worship Baal. I asked you a question earlier. Have you ever made God angry? I think I have. As a matter of fact, I know I have. But I think more importantly, question isn't just made God angry, but I ever broke God's heart. This is not a good time for God's people. God's people were sinning. And God's going to cut the head and tail right off. Or the devil-headed serpent, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes you can take the evil, the leaders out, but the worship still remained. Maybe not for Baal, but it was an Asher pole. Or it was something else. Have you ever made God angry? Well, we read in here that God was angry. Ahab stirred God's anger. But I think his heart was broken because God's people turned so quickly away from him and toward the filthiness of Baal. And God knew what the worshiping of Baal and following Jezebel would do. It would turn the hearts of people away from God and away from the Lord and into these false gods and idols. I want to tell you, if you're married today, what would it be like if someone was able to come in and take your spouse and turn their hearts away from you? Would you not be angry? But would your heart not also be broken? And God takes care of Ahab. God takes care of Jezebel. I want to close with this. There was an evilness in Jezebel. Amen? You know that, right? She was a wicked woman. She dealt with demonic witchcraft. Even called out there on the battlefield. Jehu says, the witchcraft. Witchcraft. Revelations chapter 2:3, we see that Jesus is speaking to John about seven churches. I mean, we're way now into the future. We're way into the future. I mean, the clock of years is ticking. I mean, it's just going super fast, super fast. And then we slam right here into the second chapter of Revelation, the last book of God's Word. And he writes this letter, and he says, write this letter to Thyatira, to the angel of the church of Thyatira. He says this, Jesus says, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like the blazing fire, whose feet are like the burnished bronze. I know your deeds and your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Wow, you're doing great. But he says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel. That spirit of Jezebel never left because it was demonic. And he says, who calls herself a prophet? By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of blood sacrifice to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. This is a serious punishment. Unless they repent of her ways, I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. Can I tell you right now that Jezebel's spirit is still here today? It moves out into the churches, into the community, into the politics, into all places. Sex is all, sexual immorality is always about it, but did you hear what it said? To the deep things, it's Satan's deep secret, the deep things of the darkness. It's pure evil. We are called to be the light of the world. And light sometimes exposes evil and sinful things. We need to remember who we serve tonight. Don't get tempted to draw into those things of witchcraft. Don't get tempted to draw into things back into the dark life. Remember, God saved you from that. If you're living in a life of darkness, I'm telling you, God wants you to come out of it before you have an end. Let me tell you, we know that some here in this church have been saved. And praise God for that. But also been saved from the drug life and the alcohol life. Because you reap what you sow. Ahab and Jezebel reaped what they sowed. Evil life, horrible death. If you're living life and trying to gamble your life and think you're in control, you're not. But the Lord Jesus can save you. You may have lived an evil life, but the Lord will give you an awesome, bright future. But you can only get it with Jesus Christ. Only with Jesus Christ. Tonight, someone in the community, me and Jeremy's talked several times, I've talked to Phil. There are people tonight messing around with the dark things of Satan in this community, thinking that he is going to help them with whatever they're going through. He's not going to. He's going to draw them deeper into sin, deeper into a dark hole. And sometimes that hole is so dark, he gets them to take their own life or just shoot up one more time. This is going to be the ride of all rides. I'm going to drink myself to death. So I just want to remind you that God calls us to live the light when we are to be the light. And remember, there are those who live in darkness, and we need to share the gospel to them. Let's go ahead and stand and give you an opportunity. If you want to come and pray tonight, maybe you know someone that's living in a dark world right now. The only way for them to get out is through Jesus Christ. If you want to yourself, you feel like you're living in a dark world and you can't get out of it, I'm telling you, Satan will lie to you and tell you you can never get out. But I'm telling you, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, he says, I want you to come to me. And what did he say? He says, I will give you rest.